This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the...
The Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
D'Lo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severn, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that lap? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually write a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying
you're curious
day...
I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
No, I'm going to...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast game.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you guys just joking off for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Just being...
And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice to him. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is a shock wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
He's going to fall through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation. Let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. And the sacred moments of silliness are where I find my heaven. Where I find my heaven.
Where I find my heaven. Heaven. Face de la Nación! Welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Wednesday evening from inside the PTB Man Cave. And joining me, as always, for this exciting jamboree of an episode we have for you, my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
I am well, JR. Welcome, PTB Nation, to episode 258 of the Place to Be Podcast. And you seem to be in a very... ethnic kind of mood tonight. Do you have a hashtag midget mantar in your house?
Yes, I do. He's running around right now.
That's the first thing I thought of. Is that sad? The time we've known each other and the time I've known the lumpy Matt Rotella, that the first thing I thought of when he came down the ramp was, oh my God, it's a midget mantar.
Well, it's very fitting. It looked just like him.
Although Lawler said that it was a small giant Gonzalez.
No, we know how that goes over in these parts.
Yes, we might be getting a visit during Christmas time for that one.
It feels like we finally kind of hit the fall stretch now, as we're into October here, and of course the baseball playoffs have begun, hockey season's in full blast now, basketball will be starting up soon, so it's we're a quarter of the way through the NFL season, kind of like the sunny, nice weather games are coming to an end, so I feel like we've kind of like finally now hit the fall stretch. September's gone, and Green Day's happy, because they've now been woken up, but...
Yes.
We are into October, and that means another pay-per-view, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 weeks removed from our last one. This is the only issue with this period here, is that we always get this time crunch of pay-per-views in the fall, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know why they still have a thing for having to do two shows in October. Mm. I don't understand. The time of the year where there's nothing going on, and you know the product is kind of at its...
Although I think you could argue
I don't
that.
Say it's weakest, right. But...
I feel like you can maybe be able to argue that this is actually one of the most busy falls we've had as far as storylines go. Like, I feel like we actually have had a lot going on.
Yeah.
And we'll see that borne out in some of these matches. But
yeah.
Why don't you quickly just run the agenda down? We've got a few things to do here.
All right, well, we are going to go over our picks for Sunday's Battleground,
mm-hmm.
which will take place live from the Is it still called the HSBC Arena? I think it is. HSBC Arena in Buffalo, New York. And, of course, we will have our Week 5 football picks. And we have a special guest tonight, JR. This guy is, like, right up our alley. Mm. He's a facts and stats junkie, pretty much really in our wheelhouse. That's Brian Shields, who wrote the WWE Encyclopedia. Well, not wrote it, but he wrote and compiled the WWE. Hey, you got a piece of this, so zip it. A WWE Encyclopedia.
Yes. That's a really cool guest.
Yes.
To thank Graham Cawthon for setting us up with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, a lot to talk about with the Encyclopedia. Big event coming up this weekend about the book, so we'll get to that a little bit later. First, we're going to run through our Battleground preview, like you said.
Yes.
We'll take the fields and talk a little bit about the current product, and then we'll get into the interview. So kind of a different headline show for you here this time around. But, Scott, we've been getting a little bit of clamoring out on the web.
Mm-hmm.
For some half-baked ideas. So I think we'll have either Jordan or Reish back before Hell in the Cell in a few weeks, and we'll have to bring that segment back on our next headlines show.
Yes. Yeah. For those that read my Raw review on placetobenation.com, we'll talk a little bit about the adding of a certain aspect to a storyline. I'm sure some people think I'm being a little mean, but... otherwise, I thought the go-home was fine. I do like that – we'll talk about it when we get to the match. But I do kind of like how Triple H and Stephanie kind of stayed out of the Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton stuff for 1 week. I actually didn't mind that. I like how they kind of focused on the mid-card stuff. We'll talk more about that when we get to the matches themselves. But it is Battleground, the first of two for the month of October. Of course, Hell in a Cell comes later in the month. I believe that one's in Miami. Mm-hmm. And then we have Survivor Series in Boston, which I believe Mr. Silverback himself, Matt Rotellis, is going to.
Scaring the children.
He did say, though, that he's going to dress, him and his friend Brian are going to dress as El Matadore, Los Matadore. So if he is going on it wearing a mask, then he might actually be in pretty good shape.
We'll see. No. Yeah, even him in a mask.
He gets addressed as the bull midget, but...
Yeah, I guess that's an upgrade, him in a mask, but...
Yes. Then, of course, the December pay-per-view, which is... the hell's it called now? Is it still TLC?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it still TLC? Okay. Mm-hmm. From... I have no idea where that show was. And then we get into the new year.
Well, you're getting way... You're fast-forwarding everything right now.
I know, yeah. Then we move on to... No. All right, let's talk about Battleground, which will be in Buffalo this week, this Sunday.
Yeah, we got six matches as of now.
Yep, and that includes a pre-show match.
Mm-hmm.
On the pre-show, YouTube, Yahoo, Twitter, the app, and everything else. Dolph Ziggler taking on Mr. SmackDown Money in the Bank, Damian Sandow. I have a feeling this is going to be a pretty good match. We haven't seen Sandow much lately. That might be a good thing because you and I have talked about how if you've got the long-term briefcase holder, it's okay to like not have him on much.
Although, yeah, I don't want to spoil too much of what because I'll be doing the preview for the website on Friday, like I did last month.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to get too much into what I talk about there. But this match really disappoints me.
You think like the show itself?
But I think both of them should. I don't get why this match is even on the pre-show. I mean, I know we've talked about the merits of the pre-show. That in a way, it's a little bit of a badge of honor because you're relying on these two guys to sell the show. So mm-hmm. you obviously have faith that this is going to be a pretty good match. And we've had good YouTube matches. I mean, it hasn't been a dumping ground that much this year. We've had some good stuff. And I was looking for something to fall asleep to last night, throw our money in the bank. And I still really like that Uso Shield match.
I do too.
But Dolph, I mean, it feels like it's been like a snowball for him. You know, like in a football game, like I was kind of thinking about this with the Jets game. It's like this. Sometimes you can't get out of your own way, and before you know it, you look up and it's 28-0, and you're getting the shit kicked out of you. And I feel like that's what's happened to Dolph this year. That he has, it's just been one thing after another, and he can't get out of his own way. And they're piling up and piling up. And now it's September. We look at it, he's on the pre-show. He's out of the title picture. He's got nothing. And this is a guy that the night after Mania was the crowd was just rabid. He became world mm-hmm. champion. I mean, it was just amazing. And now to see where he is.
Oh, sadly, I think the concussion ruined that.
The concussion and then, you know, him running. You know, I thought it was all an angle, him running his mouth in these interviews, but maybe it was legit. So the way he's been booked since.
I had mentioned that. I said that I thought maybe it was slightly legit.
I thought it was going to be part of the, you know, part of the angle with him. And it still could be. There's still time with him getting involved with Triple H and all that. But
Right.
And Sandow, to me, is also disappointing. He's a victim of the whole, hey, we get one win and 15 loss thing going on. And
right.
You know, this is, has credence to the whole theory that he wasn't really, they didn't really give a shit about giving him the briefcase. They did it kind of as a swerve, kind of as a misdirection. Mm-hmm. And right. They really don't have any plans. And I can't see a scenario where he actually cashes in and wins a title. So it sucks because he's a great character. And to me, Scott, he has all the traits of what they're looking for. He's a great talker.
Mm-hmm.
He's good in the ring. He's believable. He's got a good look.
Yes,
he's a
big guy. Got good promos.
He's homegrown. Like, I don't get what's holding him back. I don't understand. He has pretty much everything they would look for in a character, in a wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's odd to me that he's treated the way he has been. So to me, this is kind of just a microcosm of this guy, you know, these two guys' years. Just kind of disappointment at this point from two guys that really were looking pretty sharp in the first half of the year. Now, we've seen this happen before, too, where guys are tapered off and then you head into the new year and they ramp the push back up. And I honestly, wasn't Dolph in this position last year? I feel like we had these same conversations about Dolph last year. We said, oh, they're cooling him off and then they'll pick it back up in January. Mm. And they kind of did, but
yeah.
I'll take Dolph to win here because I don't think they give a shit about either guy at this point. So they just, I think they'll just have the face win. And,
yeah, I agree. I was, a part of me was thinking that, you know, maybe they're going to start pumping up Sandow again, but I agree with you. I think he's just there and he's going to somehow lose the, I don't think he's going to cash in and lose. I think someone's just going to steal the briefcase from him.
You think so? No, I think he'll cash in and lose.
Really?
I think they'll do it in an embarrassing manner, too. I think he'll be the first guy to cash in and lose, like, in 2 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, something really stupid. Like, someone will outsmart him. Just a disappointing match overall. Mm. I mean, I think the match will be good. Disappointing placement.
Mm. Okay. So we have five matches on the main card. The first one, straight out of Asbury Park, New Jersey here. We have The Shield, all three of them. Oh, I'm sorry, just the tag champs. My bad, just the tag champs. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns taking on the Brothers Rhodes. Jason and, no, I'm just kidding. Cody and Dustin / Goldust. Before we pick the match, what'd you think of Dustin standing there in a suit with the face paint?
Yeah, I kind of like it.
I was talking about this with Rotella. He thought it was stupid because he should just be Dustin because he's a Rhodes kid. But sadly, we were both saying that, you know, most of the audience isn't us who remember The Natural. They know him as Goldust. So if they take the face paint off, they'll lose the he'll lose the identity.
That's, and Goldust and Goldust has been, he's been serious as Goldust before.
Right.
And that's what he's known as. That's, I mean, I'm fine with it. Whatever. It's
it doesn't matter.
It's a belief. It's not like it's not like it's Mini Mantar out there in the fucking suit doing that. I mean it's
true.
To me, it's definitely. Okay, just Goldust, the name and the character have so much cachet built up at this point. I mean, God, the character's almost 20 years old at this point.
Yeah.
You know, late 95, 18 years old. So, I mean, he's, yeah, I don't think it's sad. I mean, it's a little goofy looking, you know, if you're bringing the new fan in, like, what the hell's this guy got this fucking weird-ass gold lion paint on for? But
I know, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal.
No. All right, now, if the Rhodes boys win, they both have jobs. If the Shield wins, neither of them will ever get a job ever again, and even Big Dust loses his job down at the developmental building in Tampa.
Yeah, pretty cool that they're you know, talking about that.
Yeah. Now, there's a rumor going around. I think I read it on Lords of Pain.
Sapphire's going to show up.
That's yes, with the turkey and the shower cap. That Vince wanted this to be a six man, and Dusty was supposed to be in the match as well. But that would have been a disaster because isn't Dusty like 70 by now? And sadly, he's not in Vince's shape. So I think that's why that was kiboshed. I don't think anybody would have wanted to see that anyway. So it will be the Rhodes boys versus the Shield. If the Shield wins, every single Rhodes man will be jobless. And if the Rhodes boys win, they both.
Hey, Hacksaw, have you seen Sapphire, baby?
No, I haven't, Dust. But we're all still looking for her.
Yeah, why don't you put him in the six-man tag? It'll really flush your careers down the toilet. I think Cody and Dustin win. I think they win.
I'm torn on this one because I feel like they're not done with the story yet. But I feel like there's two ways they can go with it. One, the Rhodes boys win and
they get tortured.
Yeah, they get tortured, exactly. The flip side is we get maybe some fun Midnight Ride of masked goodness. You know Triple H is an NWA mark at heart. I feel like there's more to this story that they can do if they lose. I feel like they could do something like that where they come in under masks and they're torn.
I kind of dig that.
And then they get someone stands up for them and get their jobs back for them.
I kind of dig that,
you
JR.
Like that, huh?
Yeah, I do. You kind of tug into my NWA heartstrings. I like that idea. Because I'm going to be a huckleberry on you all now, baby.
I mean, isn't it leading to it? Like, wouldn't you be disappointed at this point if they don't do something like that?
You could just see them come out as Los Masques, the friggin' Matadores. That would be great. And you could tell that the face paint's under his face.
We're from Tijuana, Mexico, baby.
Tijuana, yeah.
They're coming out here, sweet sapphire, gyrating, Jews, and jacking, moving.
Sadly, though, we're doing what we are always guilty of, which is booking what we actually want to see, not what we really know is going
to
happen.
Yeah, but this one to me actually is kind of plausible. Why? I mean, you're doing an angle where the Rhodes family is going to be kicked out and can never, ever, 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 ever get a job again. And the main heel behind it, in the angle and in real life, is like a diehard Ric Flair, NWA, Horseman,
Mid-Atlantic guy.
Mark. Yeah. You know, like the biggest of, non-Criscolo, Campbell level NWA Mark.
Yes.
And it's like, when else would they do it, So I think for that reason alone, and plus I don't think they want the Shield to lose. So I think for that reason alone, I'm going to take the Shield. And I think Goldust takes the pin. They play it up where Goldust says he's the weak link and he feels bad, blah, blah, blah. And they leave. And then the next week or the next night or a week later, they definitely start coming out in masks. And denying that they're the Rhodes, Dusty, those straight up machines, Dusty will manage them in their mind. It just seems to be going that way to me. Like, I feel like it's too soon to have them win the jobs back and that's it. It just seems like there's much more to this than we've seen so far.
All right. I believe it or not, usually we're the opposite, but I'm actually going to be the pessimist here. And I think not that I don't want to see Cody and Dustin win, but I just don't think that it's going to be that cool, sadly.
I don't know.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're right.
Why else would they pick the Rhodes? Of anyone on this roster, they picked Cody. They could have picked anyone else for this angle.
True.
Like, Cody came out of nowhere for this angle. He wasn't really involved in that. He was with the Sandow stuff. They brought Dustin back. I don't know. It just seems weird that of all the people in the roster they picked, they dragged Cody up to this level to be involved in this. I don't know.
God, I hope you're right. Sadly, I think we're, as usual, we're going to get our hearts broken. I'm going to pick the Rhodes family because I just don't think they're that cool. But hey, I'm not going to.
I was frozen today.
I wish we could freeze time. I wish we could freeze time and bring back the awesome days of Mid-Atlantic booking. But sadly, no. I just think it's not going to happen. So, all right. So there we go. The Rhodes family versus the Shield. Okay. The Divas Championship will be on the line when the champion, who was only on camera for what, about 's not Geico commercial either. Oh man, you get me so pumped.
It's gonna happen. I'm guaranteeing you it's gonna happen. No, I'm not gonna guarantee, but
it'd be so awesome.
I feel like there's a better chance of it happening than not.
Okay. All right. I hope you're right. I'm the one who's being usually I'm the dreamy.
Just lines up so well.
I don't disagree with you.
If this was Vince completely in this angle, I don't know. I feel with Triple H so heavily involved. Can't you just see the three of them coming out in the masks on Raw, tormenting Triple H and Stephanie?
Absolutely. Oh, hell yeah. If this was Vince, Cody would be coming out in polka dots.
Oh, that'd be good.
And they find another 30-something-year-old overweight black woman to play to play like Sapphire's sister or something. No, and Vince. But could you imagine? Imagine if there's like a big pep talk Sunday night. It's like, boys, we gotta channel internal Sapphire.
They're going to be running a rampant out in the ring tonight.
I'm going to be your huckleberry. Whatever the fuck that means. All right. Divas Championship. AJ Lee, who we saw for about 2 seconds on Monday night, taking on Number one contender, Brie Bella.
All right. I'm gonna be honest here. Mm-hmm. And I know I have at least one man in Ben Morris backing me up. God. I think you're unfair on the Bellas. I think they've been okay since they've come back. And I think they've gained a little bit of a following with the Total Divas. I think they were kind of the breakout stars on that show. I thought she's been okay with Brian. And I didn't mind her last night with the whole, you know, Orton beating the shit out of Brian in front of her and her crying and getting upset. Like, I don't know. I feel you've been a little bit rough on them. I feel like you're holding their past transgressions against them.
If they had stayed, first of all, the only redeeming thing I feel I caught from last night was that, first of all, AJ is going to kick the shit out of her, in my opinion. But you know it's going to happen. She'll probably win because makes the show on E look great in 3 months when she's walking, or 3 weeks when she's walking around with the belt and they can make up shit and they can dangle it in Natalia's face or whatever.
See, I don't think so. I think there's more to the AJ stuff to come. I think something happens with Brie and something. Whether
because
Orton, or some reason to fuck with Daniel Bryan, she's going to lose this match.
Well, I think that you're seeing, in my opinion, I caught something last night that was a little different. I was getting the feeling that Brie and Nikki had that Edge Christian 01 feel, where Nikki looked like she was kind of siphoning off her sister's heat last night. And because there were a couple times Brie would look at her like, what the fuck are you doing? All right, whatever. You know, I noticed that a couple times after she won her match last night. Or Monday night. So that's my one redeeming thing. If they split them up, that would be kind of cool. Having said that, and I preface this on...
Yeah, how are they going to split them up? Who's going where?
Well, Nikki will be the heel.
With Cena, though?
Oh, well... Now,
she's not with him on TV.
You're assuming that they're going to... put the Cena relationship. Well, I know it's already on Total Divas. But.
I mean, it's pretty high profile. I don't know if they can get away with it. I mean, so much of that show is they involve what's going on in the storylines. I know what you're saying, and it would make sense. I just don't see them turning. As long as that show's on, I don't see them splitting the Bellas up. That gets too much in the way of, well, they hate each other on TV, but now they're buddies on the show. I don't know. I don't see them going down that path.
Yeah. I forgot that they... Damn you, Ben and Jen! I don't have a problem, and I prefaced it. I said this at the bottom of my column when I did my final couple of comments, placetobenation.com. I don't have a problem. Of course I don't have a problem with them getting married. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that he proposed. They seem like a nice couple. Knowing John Cena's past, I'd be a little nervous if I was Nikki. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, Cena's a man on Total Divas.
Yeah, but commitment like that now, he might be a little leery after what happened the last time. But look, they look like a great couple. They look happy. They were at Big Sur in California, the mountains. Don't put it in the storyline. There's no need for it. If you're trying to get crossover audience and have females watch Raw, fire the fucking guy that thought of it.
I don't know!
Exactly. Go away. It is unnecessary. And her just standing there looking like a dope while Orton is pummeling him does nothing. In my opinion. Nothing. And all you're doing is making them look weak. I think it's unnecessary. And I've been bitching about this for the last 6 months
but how's it making them look weak?
What does he got to have his fiance there? Oh, God, Daniel. Oops. Oh, God.
That's a classic story.
It's schlocky. No, no need for this.
Heel beats him up. It's coming. He's gonna DDT her next.
Oh, that'll be awesome. By the way, quick poll. By the way, I love, obviously, October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Love that they have the pink rope and everything. Mm-hmm. Who had the coolest t-shirt Monday night?
They're all pretty cool. I kind of liked Fandango's.
Fandango's was good. I loved Orton's.
Yeah, his was cool, too.
I didn't like the ones that were totally pink. I thought that was kind of...
Yeah, I liked how they had everyone involved in it, though. That was neat.
But I mean, no, that I do love.
It's
do
smart, love. Too, because they'll sell some extra merch.
Yep.
They'll donate the proceeds or whatever, and it's a cool look to have everyone... Yeah.
I loved Orton's because it had the regular, his RKO logo, but it had the like pink accentuates or, you know, the accentuated pink. And then Punk's was like that, too. By the way, on another note, and we'll get to him in a minute. His match is next. By the way, I'm assuming we both like AJ to win this match.
Yeah, like AJ here. I don't see
the storyline. We were talking about this, but
I don't see the Bellas splitting though. I think something may happen with Orton or AJ Man just went clean, but yeah. There's more. Brie will be distracted by something, and AJ wins.
Okay. All right. Next match. We continue the awesome storyline of CM Punk and Paul Heyman as Punk takes on Ryback. For the first time since this feud started back in July, I had no idea where they were going with that whole thing on Monday night, you know, with Paul getting on Ryback, you know, getting on his knee and holding his hand. And I
was going to propose to him.
The hell that was all about. No idea what that was all about. Incidentally, and I don't even think this happened during the Austin era, during the Attitude era. Did anybody promote two T-shirts at the same time in the Attitude era? Austin, of course, had 500 T-shirts, but he used to go one at a time. He'd wear one for like a month straight, 2 months straight, then another one, 2 months straight, then another one. Punk last night was pimping two. Two. He had on the white one.
They got to sell the merch with Cena out.
Yeah, but he had the white one, which I call the JR special, white with the colored collars and you know, with the two and fists, and then he had his common, you know, taped fists with the flag black one, and that one had the pink highlights, which I thought was pretty cool too. That and Orton's I think were the two best. I think Punk wins here because I think the re-ramping begins. He's supposed to get back into the title picture by after Survivor Series. He really hasn't gotten the upper hand on anything except this past Monday. I think he beats Ryback here and kind of ramps himself back up again.
He's going to win. He's only won one pay-per-view match this year. One.
Yep. Over the Payback.
That would be Jericho, right?
Yep, Payback. Lost to The Rock twice. He lost to Taker. He was not at Extreme Rules. He beat
Jericho.
Lost the Money in the Bank. Lost to Brock. He didn't exactly lose to Chopped Liver either.
No, definitely not.
And then, of course, he lost the Night of Champions. So, yeah, one win since beating whoever the hell he beat it. Was it Ryback in a singles match at TLC? I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, he needs a win.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough to see them having, I feel like they finally kind of rebuilt Ryback, and now they're going to have him lose, but I think it's a necessary evil, and I still think they're gunning towards Punk. They'll give him someone else at Hell in a Cell, or maybe they put him and Paul in the Cell. I still think they may do him and Paul Survivor Series, though, one-on-one, finally. I think that's where they're going to get that match, and then they'll reset Punk heading into Mania.
Yeah. I think Punk gets a title shot now. I feel like it's leaning more towards that. I have a feeling he's going to win the Rumble.
You think so?
Yeah.
And challenge who?
And challenge. I think he may move to SmackDown.
Nah. Not with Cena out.
No, he'll be back by then. Cena's supposed to be back by targeted date, full recovery.
I can do Punk Del Rio, are they?
I think February. Nah. I don't know. I can't see Punk Bryan face-face.
No.
And I don't think they want to turn Punk heel.
No, they just went through that.
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm with you, though. I think Punk wins here only because he needs to win more, and they have to continue to advance this thing. And local ads have said Punk Heyman now for Survivor Series, but we've kind of been on that from the start. And I'm not sure what they do at Hell in a Cell. Maybe we get a gauntlet with Axel and Ryback and Heyman.
Boy, they fucking turn him to Chopped Liver, huh?
Ryback?
Axel?
Or Axel?
No, Axel.
Yeah, but he was never meant to be anything. I mean,
yeah. He probably will lose the IC title eventually. All right, World Heavyweight Championship hardcore match. Your champion Alberto Del Rio, as the now irrelevant Zeb Coulter says, and RVD. By the way, great moments that they did the top 10 countdown.
Yeah,
RVD's best hardcore moments. That was cool.
I want to talk about the YouTube thing quick. I actually like it a lot.
Yes,
I feel like it's. I feel like they're doing what they're trying to make up for the old on demand on the website and also 24/7, where they're putting full matches up. They're doing these lists. I mean, they're using it very smartly. This is a great avenue for them to do.
I made fun of it. I mean, I was only tongue in cheek on my review. I was making fun of the fact. Does anybody really want to watch 30 Trouble in Paradise
sure,
in 30 seconds? I was only picking on that clip. The YouTube concept is awesome.
Yeah, it's really absolutely cool. Awesome. I like that the show on the matches and the shows and everything else. And this is a great use of their content. And you know what? Yep. They might not be getting the paid for the subscriptions, but they're building a base for maybe when they do have the network. And they're also getting ad rates through YouTube, and they have the partnership there. So why not? Why not? If you want people pirating, I feel like what I did there. Pirating. It's a big
pirating.
Night. Big night.
Oh, you got it.
Huh?
Pirating.
No, I'm saying there's a big couple of nights here for the Pirates the last two nights.
Ah, yes.
Pirates on the internet and Pirates on the baseball field.
Yes.
Anyway, in the world of YouTube, if you don't want people pirating your shit and putting it up, do it yourself.
Yeah.
People will watch it because it's in better quality. It's HD and everything else. And
just give it to us.
Yeah, I like it. Give it to us hard.
No, I agree 100%. I was only picking on the fact that nobody wants to watch 30 Trouble in Paradises in 30 seconds. But no, otherwise, I love going. I watch it every day. I find something interesting to watch. You and I are junkies for finding random matches and get in the mood. So, but Punk wins. The previous match. As for this match, I got to tell you something. When we get to like our end of year awards, maybe we'll have Mr. Woodling on or someone on to talk like end of year 2013. Has anyone been a more unheralded MVP than Alberto Del Rio?
You know, I know in what sense?
He's been a workhorse. Pretty much from January to now, he has been in the title picture. He's busted his ass. He got kind of hosed at Mania, at the Bizarro Izod with Dolph cashing in.
Yep.
Turned heel, which at the time I was like, whatever.
No, they needed to.
But since July, though, he's been pretty hot.
Yeah.
I got to admit.
No, he has.
He's been SmackDown's workhorse.
No,
he's kind
of
been like a lower version of Edge. From like 07 to 10.
No, he's been good. I mean, I've been fine with him as the reigning heel champ, and I think he wins here. I mean, the news is out that RVD's short-term contract's up. They're kind of pressuring him to re-sign. He hasn't done it yet. So I think he jobs here, and he probably does an injury angle, takes him off a little bit. I thought for sure Ricardo was going to turn and go back with Del Rio, but now they're saying he's going to manage Rey when Rey comes back against Del Rio. So I'm guessing Ricardo does not turn, but I think he'll be involved in this match pretty heavily. But Del Rio retains... He'll have a mini feud with Ray for a bit here, and then we'll see where they are doing him at Punk and Mania. I don't know who else he'd fight unless they build Dolph back up. But
yeah, and I mean you could argue that that's a waste of Punk, but that all depends on. I mean, obviously that all depends on Taker.
Right.
We've had two straight rematch pairs, but I don't think we'll see Punk and Taker again. All right, and finally the WWE Championship because a new word we've learned in WWE world. In abeyance?
Yes.
Abeyance?
Yes.
What the hell does that mean? Just say vacant. Jesus, Triple H. I know you're a genius, but you don't want to get the words over their heads. Just say vacant. The vacant WWE Championship, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. Are you surprised there's no stip here? There's rumors of Iron Man.
No, because I think they're going to fight again probably Hell in a Cell.
Well, yeah, they'll fight a Hell in a Cell. Oh, they're most definitely fighting at Hell in a Cell.
I don't know. I mean...
It's tough.
You know, I really thought Orton would win. But then they had Orton beat the shit out of him Monday. I think Bryan gets screwed again.
Does he? But do they pull another... He wins and
comes up with
a plan C?
No, I think Orton wins, but it's cheap and that sets up the Cell. I'm really interested in where they're heading with all this title stuff with Bryan and Triple H and everything else because I thought for sure that they'd build to Bryan beating Orton at Mania, but they've had the match so many times now, I don't think it'll happen.
This is what I think should happen. Bryan's about to hit. Bryan hits the knee, and he's gonna win. Hunter and Stephanie come out. Big Show is holding up Brie Bella by the neck. And he's about to knock her out if Daniel doesn't do what's good for business. And he gets distracted. Orton hits an RKO, wins the title. If you're going to use Brie Bella, use her as a weakness.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I like that scenario. I think exactly that's what's going to happen. He's going to tease that they're going to take out Brie,
yep.
and then he wins. I think now we're building towards Bryan Triple H at some point. I don't know if it'll be Survivor Series, Rumble, or Mania, but I think that's where we're headed. I think he's going to go over Triple H. And you can argue that maybe that even means more at this point than winning the title from Orton.
Entirely possible.
But I think Orton wins here. I'm with you. Bryan loses.
This might be an absolutely silly question, and I don't want women's groups yelling at me. I'm just using the wrestling bubble here. But at some point, does show knock Stephanie out?
I don't know where the cap is with that. That's another one I'm not sure where they're going.
You know?
Which show.
Shouldn't he?
Yeah, I don't think they'll do it, though.
No, I know they're not. I know they're not. But, you know, that storyline is getting hideous. So you with all these cops standing in this room on Monday night, you turn and tell Big Show that his wife said that he's not delivering with all these strangers in the room. If I was Big Show, I'd be like, oh, wife's a fucking bitch. I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to quit. And then fuck you. Pay the mortgage yourself. You son of a, you know, the whole that storyline just falling lower and lower. So I don't know what they're going to do with Big Show in this show, but that's what I think. I don't know if he'll be in a match, if they'll add something by the pay-per-view, but I think that he will be part of the end, and I think Orton wins the title.
I agree.
Okay. So there's your battleground picks. And, of course, we will be on Sunday night on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Yes, live blog. Make sure you join us.
Yes,
you,
please.
Me, Brad.
Yep. Absolutely.
We'll be live. I'll be at Picasso's with the crew.
When are the Pats playing on Sunday?
They are playing at 1, so we should be okay.
So you might be thinned out.
I don't think the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are Friday, Saturday, so we should be okay there, too.
Okay.
Good Sunday night game, though, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But I will be at Picasso's with the boys.
Yep, I will be at Mike's.
You'll be at Mike's, and Brad will be home.
Yep. So we'll be good. So hop on the blog, PlaceToBeNation.com on Sunday night. We'll have a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And right now it seems like, preliminarily so, that on Sunday night, October 20th, I will be doing a live blog for Bound for Glory.
Cool.
So we'll see if that's definite or not.
I expect you to do a mega preview that weekend.
Yes. No, there will be a big preview because that's a big show.
A lot of TNA content. We got a few other TNA things coming up here in October.
Yes. Even though a lot of people think the company's falling apart. But so.
Well, it kind of is. PlaceToBeNation.com, quickly. Mm-hmm. Lots going on here. Of course, we have Weber has issues. Weber has several issues. DC's Villains Month overview. Josh Richer started his weekly reviews of Once Upon a Time. If you're a fan of that show or that genre, check it out. Dustin Nichols did a book review. From Prison to Promise by Booker T. Huffman. And then a really cool concept here, Scott, where the big boys play number 50, 1990 fantasy draft. We had Chad and Parv welcomed in Brad and Kelly from PWO Only. And they redrafted new brands with using 1990 rosters. It's pretty intense because Parv, when he does things, he goes all the way with it.
Yep.
Very detailed. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of fun to listen to about halfway through right now. And just hearing Parv trying to understand drafting is entertaining in its own right. And also hearing Brad butcher Boris Zukov's name was worth it as well. So definitely check that out. And, of course, your Raw recap is up as well. We'll have all the standard stuff throughout the rest of the week, too. Richard and the Mailman, Episode 9, recapping the finale of Breaking Bad.
Yes.
And that'll be there as well. And, of course, all your other favorites. And Caliber Winfield makes his debut on the site tomorrow as well.
Oh, nice.
So, made his debut on the site. Yes. So that's PlaceToBeNation.com. Anything else you want to talk about the current product before we move on to the pigskin?
Again, I want to preface, I don't have a problem with Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan getting married. I'm very happy for them. And they want to play the little piece on Raw. It's nice. Schlocky, but that's nice. But I'm still not crazy about them putting it in the storyline. But otherwise, Heyman and Punk is still going strong. And SmackDown hasn't been too bad. Triple H has been on more on SmackDown than I thought he would.
Yeah. Well, what do you just think about the quality in general of programming right now?
Because
the ratings are down.
Yeah. Well, the ratings are always down this time of the year.
Yeah.
Football, look, regardless what anybody wants to say, and they can even make it up during the Attitude Era, Monday Night Football is a big deal.
And that was, that was a pretty big game last night, too.
Yeah, two undefeateds, and Breeze played great, and Saints beat the Dolphins. But and let me see, this week, a night after, let's see, what's Monday night?
Jets-Falcons.
Oh, there we go, Monday night. We'll know what you're watching. Raw. No. Yeah. we'll talk about both our teams and their miserable Sundays. Monday Night Football is a big deal. It's a big deal. So it does take – this isn't 1999 where the product's bulletproof. If there's a good game on Monday night, it's going to hurt them. Now, will a good Sunday night game quell pay-per-view buys? Yeah. I mean, there's two Sunday games, technically, if you count the really late game in Oakland. The Sunday night game this week isn't too bad, Niners-Texans.
Right.
But I still think you'll get a they'll be decent buys. This card is not stellar.
Well, it's interesting to me because coming off of SummerSlam, everyone was hyped. But yeah, you kind of knew there was no way Night of Champions was going to match that. And it really didn't. It was okay, but yeah. Now we have a mix of rematches and new stuff. And, you know, as long as Brian Orton delivers again, which they did last month, and as long as Del Rio, RVD have a good brawl and you have, you know, good drama with the road stuff, I think this will be a pretty good show. I'm actually looking forward to this more than I was Night of Champions.
Yeah, I am and I'm not. I have a feeling the card's a little flat, but I think it's more the rematches at the top. And if we're guaranteed two good matches.
Yeah, I don't mind the rematches if they're going to be good.
Yeah. Do you feel that that product-wise they're panicking about no Cena yet?
Well, the rating coming in is a 2.68. I'm thinking yes. I wouldn't be shocked if he was on in some shape or form in the next couple weeks, doing something.
Yeah. It's sad. Sad. But they have no one to blame but themselves because they've saturated him so bad, so much.
Right.
That
it sucks, too, because, I mean, the guys that are involved are really good, and the storylines have been pretty good, and I think the TV's been pretty good, too, and I really like...
I keep forgetting about Sheamus.
Yeah, him, too.
I'm trying to think when he's back. Yeah. He was gone before Cena, so let's say Sheamus is back.
I don't know. I thought this was going to be a while. I thought it was going to be like until almost Mania.
What was it? His quad. Oh, no, his pec, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, torus pec muscle.
All right. Well, there is your...
Just finishing my point. That's good.
Yeah. So there is your look at the current products and the pay-per-view this Sunday. Again, follow us on the live blog. Also, my preview.
Yes.
A little bit in-depth like we talked about here tonight with my predictions in writing for all to see.
We'll get more into TNA in a couple weeks, probably the headline show before. Maybe we'll do a quick little headlines before Bound for Glory.
Yeah, you always promise that these things just aren't going to happen, but maybe you can just do something on the site and we'll talk about it briefly.
Well, we do like talking about TNA, and this
is
a big show.
Like when you
because...
promised Joe Dombrowski to come out every month and talk about his indie promotion nobody watches.
All right. All right, I was trying to be nice. What do you want from me? Then I watched the DVD and really scratched my head. You have, and then Ring of Honor we could talk about when we have Kevin on. You guys could talk about the how the product looks when Kevin comes on. It'll be on soon.
Hopefully, yeah. I'm going to reach out to him tomorrow, try and set things up.
Yes. No, you'll be due in a few weeks. We're coming to the end of 2000. I'll tell you something, JR. This quick plug for the vault.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting second half of 2000. I'm very much looking forward to what Kevin has to say because there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like I think the first half of 2000 was interesting. But a lot of stuff was just cranking along so well that it was hard to... There wasn't a lot of dirt involved there. This back half of 2000, though, a lot of stuff going on. And I'm sure Kevin will have some good stories. Because Kevin was in a good spot here for us. Not himself personally, but a very distant franchise around this time. Heading into 01. So it's hopefully get a lot of interesting takes from...
We've been nice and we haven't chided him yet because this was about the time that he was starting to be called Hermie.
Oh, so. I think we're going to bust it out this time. Yeah, I called him Hermie in one of my Ring of Honor reports.
So, all right. We go from the ring to the gridiron because, yes, JR, you know what it's time to do.
Take the field.
Woohoo!
All right, Scott, let's go through this a little bit quickly here and then we'll bring in our special guest. So we have Thursday nights. The worst games in the history of football on Thursday nights. Buffalo at Cleveland. Both teams are pretty entertaining to watch, but we've just seen these Thursday night games, Scott. tough to watch because the football product itself is not great. He seems beat up from Sunday, worn out, and it's clear that it's hurting the quality of these games.
Yeah, but here's my point, though. Everyone knew that neither of these teams were going to be that great, so why the hell do you put this on Thursday night?
Well, because they don't give a shit. It's football people will watch, and why waste a good game on a night when it's the only game?
True.
Football fans are going to watch, so whatever. But Cleveland's, been playing very well. Buffalo, very banged up. This one, to me, is where I go with the home team. Cleveland's been playing with a lot of confidence, although I'm kind of curious because they seem to be going against their what everyone thought was going to be their tanking strategy.
Yeah,
they seem to be bucking that. But I'll take Cleveland here to knock off Buffalo.
Yeah, you know what? I'm taking the Browns, too. I thought you and I were going to differ on this one because you always like to slam the Browns. But,
they've done well. Yeah, I mean, Hoyer's looked
okay. Buffalo hasn't played horrible. I mean, they haven't played terrible.
This is very inconsistent.
Yeah, I have a feeling this game's going to be more entertaining than we're allowing to be, just based on the fact that they're very even talent-wise. But
if it was on Sunday, I think it would be.
Yeah, I think Hoyer, is starting again.
Yeah, I hope so. It'd be pretty stupid not to.
Yeah, no, so I think he's starting again. I think Manuel's going to struggle. I like the Browns at home.
Me too. Okay. All right. Next, now we have a lot of big games on Sunday. Mm-hmm. A lot of great. This might be the best slate of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago at Soldier Field, the Saints come marching in to face the Bears. Saints coming off a mollywhopping of the Dolphins on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
They've been red hot, undefeated. Breeze has been playing out of his mind, but Scott. This has kind of that. This may be anecdotal. I may be making this up. This is the kind of stuff I hate. But I feel like whenever Breeze has these big Monday night or Sunday night games and everyone's gushing over him, he struggles the next week. And Chicago's D hasn't been playing great, but playing pretty well. They're coming off a tough loss to Detroit. I don't know. I'm still, it's a little bit early for me to really make a decision on this one. I'm leaning Chicago just because I feel like this is a game where Breeze struggles and everyone's kind of caught off guard by it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Saints have been looking so good. And Chicago, I don't know if they can match the firepower with New Orleans. So it really comes down to their D. And New Orleans' D looked very good last night. I don't know how much of the game you saw when we were recording.
I watched the highlights on SportsCenter. I didn't get to watch the game itself. But, we've talked about this the 2 years that we've been doing this show. I've never been the biggest Jay Cutler fan. He hasn't played awful this year. He's thrown some kind of head-scratching passes.
Well, he's always going to. I mean,
and he threw a couple of them against Detroit. I'm actually torn in this game.
Yeah, me too. I need some time to think about it. I mean, for the sake of the show, I'm going to say the Saints right now, but I'm back and forth on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Saints too just because I just think they're a better team. But I do have the Bears. I both going to the playoffs, so this could be maybe like a divisional playoff or wild card preview because I have both going. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to take the Saints. I just think they're better. I don't seem like they're the kind of team. Drew Brees just seems too mature to be the kind of guy who slumps anymore. But I might be wrong. But right now, I'll take
He can have a bad game. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be
awful.
A
bad game, but I don't think at this point, I think it's going to take a lot for him to play a losing. I mean, obviously they're going to lose games, but.
Not in your world. You have them going undefeated, didn't you?
I did have them going 15-1. I think they're going to win, but I think Cutler will keep them in the game.
Okay. Next one is my upset pick, and kind of a cheap one, but whatever. They're underdogs, and that is the New England Patriots going into Cincinnati to face the Bengals. I don't like the Bengals. I haven't liked them. I didn't like them in the preseason. I feel like I was forced into liking them by you and Forchetti. To the point where I was stupid and picked the Steelers to win the division, which I didn't really believe, but I just didn't like Baltimore or Cleveland either at the time. I do not trust Andy Dalton. I don't. I don't think he's a guy that can bring a team back. That win over Green Bay was a lot of luck involved in that with the fumble and the recovery into the fumble and everything else. And I don't. New England's playing a lot of confidence right now, coming off a huge win in Atlanta. And I think they stay hot. I think Brady's starting to develop a little bit of rapport. I think Amendola may be back this week. The defense and Tlaib are playing well, even losing Vince Wilfork. Since he cannot score on Cleveland, and I know Cleveland's got a pretty good defense, if you want to be a legit contender, though, you got to win that game. You have to win that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them beating New England.
I hate the Patriots.
Of course. I don't. I wish they'd lose every fucking game from here on out, but I don't see it happening.
What are they doing? How are they? You really want to describe? How are they winning games? How? There's no.
I will tell you exactly right now how they're winning these games. These teams psych themselves out, and Belichick and Brady sit back, and they let these teams do stupid things and beat themselves. What the fuck was Mike Smith thinking on that last play of the game?
Yeah. How do you throw a fade?
A guy with a high ankle sprain, who's not even that tall, covered by the best corner, the only corner the Patriots have. Denner had gone down the play before. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do. You find a better play than that.
Yeah.
These teams get psyched out, and the Patriots just sit back, and they pick up the scraps and let these teams beat themselves. They are always ripe for these games early in the year, and a lot of times they just sit back and let the other team make a mistake or do something stupid, and they just pick up the win. They're just a smart team who've seen a lot of games, a lot of close games, and, you know, in the regular season anyway, they're very savvy at how to win these games. The problem is when they get to the playoffs and the games get a little bit harder hitting and everything else, they tend to struggle. But, I like New England here, and I think a lot of it is these teams. I don't think Cincinnati is mentally strong enough to win this game anyway.
I have to agree. In fact, I'm going to make that my upset this week. I know.
Son
it's
of a bitch.
It's pretty cheap, I know. Why, you were going to do it too?
I did. I said it was.
Oh, yeah. Well, you said it was one of your upsets. I didn't know you were confirming.
It's my upset pick. All right.
I'll take the Steelers. I'll never take the Steelers.
Another great 1 p.m. game. We have the Detroit Lions, who are mega hot right now. Ran all over the Bears. Reggie Bush looks like the fucking Heisman guy we saw half a decade ago.
Mm.
Travel to Green Bay to Lambeau Field to take on the Packers coming off a bye. Scott, I think this is a pretty must-win game for the Packers. I think they win this one, despite how good Detroit has looked. I mean, this is a chance for Detroit to really control that division, put their foot down and say, hey, this is ours now. I don't think Green Bay is ready to give it up. I think they're going to be playing with a lot of urgency. Eddie Lacy should be back. I think they're going to be rested, and I think they know that if they lose this game, they're in some serious trouble in the NFC. So I think they win this game. I think it'll be a shootout. I think Detroit will play well, but I think Green Bay takes it.
I like the Packers, too. I think it's going to be a good game. But I think Aaron Rodgers can light up the scoreboard when need be, and the Lions' defense sometimes is hit or miss. Question in this game is the Packer rushing defense, if they could stop Reggie Bush, who seems to finally find
Bush has been
a home.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, if he can find a home where an offense can work with him and work with his strengths, and seems to be doing that in Detroit. But I like the Packers at home. You're right. This is a game that if they're going to win the division and finish in the top two.
Hell, if they're even going to make the wild card, I think they might need this win.
This is a game they have to win, so I like the Packers.
All right, next up we have Kansas City going to Tennessee, and this would have been maybe a little bit frisky chance for a Tennessee upset, but no Jake Locker. He has the hip strain, suffered Sunday, and I don't like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Kansas City's D is very good. I can't see Fitzpatrick doing much against them, so I'll take Kansas City on the road here to stay undefeated. Again, this kind of has a little bit upset sniff to it. Especially if the Tennessee defense was so aggressive Sunday. I mean, they were in Geno Smith's face that whole game. So, there is a chance for an upset here, but without Locker, I just don't see it happening.
I agree. Let me tell you something. Considering I've watched this guy a lot over the last 14 years because he's been in my division, Andy Reid is a good football coach.
Of course, I think
people forget about that because he played for such a finicky city with finicky fans. Yeah, Brad, I'm talking to you.
I think it was more than that, too, though. I mean, I think anywhere. I mean, look at Yankee fans with Joe Torre. I mean, anywhere a guy just wears out his welcome if they stop winning.
Yeah.
And I think part of it, too, was his game mismanagement. They just wore out his welcome. It was time for both of those teams to part ways. Yeah.
Yeah. But he has motivated these guys. Mm-hmm. The defense swarms, the secondary swarms. I wish the Cowboys secondary played like that.
Well, the thing is, though, that they had a lot of this talent in place last year. And I know we joke about Kyle picking them to make the playoffs and everything, but they really had a lot of talent in place last year. They just didn't have a quarterback that could manage it, and they had an awful head coach. I mean, going from Crennel to Andy Reid is worth like 8 wins alone, so we should see a pretty good bounce back. But
I like him to win this game.
Yeah.
I like him to win this game.
Oh, well, we've got to keep an eye on Smith, though, because he had his first kind of shaky game last week. Luckily, the Giants suck, and they were able to still win. I don't think he can put up that kind of performance against this Tennessee defense. So. All right. Seattle on the road again, back-to-back weeks now, head to Indianapolis. This is kind of a big boy game for the Colts, Scott. They shocked us by beating the 49ers. They took care of business with the Jaguars. Seattle showed a lot of gumption, came back from a big deficit to knock off the Texans in Houston. I think they stay hot. I'm not going to pick against them yet, but I think this is another one where Indy, never know. Seattle kind of maybe a little bit of a trap game, second game on the road. They don't play as well on the road. I don't see the Indy run game doing much, though. Trent Richardson did not play great against an awful team in Jacksonville. I don't see what he's going to do against Seattle. So this, I think this one's going to come out to Andrew Luck matching touchdowns with Russell Wilson. But I'll take Seattle here. But again, another one that has a little bit of a whiff of an upset.
I want to pick the Colts. I feel like Seattle's due for their first loss, and this is on the road, so this is, you know, there's no 12th man. However, I don't know. I have it on the Colts right now, but I have a feeling this is a game where Luck's going to go in with a lot of confidence and end up throwing like four picks, getting a little too gutsy. So I'm biting my tongue on this. I'm going to do what you do and second guess myself, which, like you've done often on this show, sadly. I'm going to put the Seahawks, but because I have a feeling Andrew Luck is going to have a bad boy game. I want to pick them. I really do. If this game was in Seattle, it'd be so easy. I would definitely take the Seahawks.
Right, obviously.
But
I just think they proved something with that comeback in Houston, that maybe some of that bugaboo. Yeah, maybe they don't play as well on the road, but they have the ability to come back in these games. They did it against Carolina and against Houston now.
Yeah.
So I just think they're better than Indy.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have a false sense of thinking about the Colts after beating up Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's going to feel, every team that plays them is going to feel that way. So, I'm going to take the Seahawks because I just feel that Andrew Luck's just going to have one of those games where you think this is his big come. I mean, he did make the playoffs last year, but this will be his a big moment for him. And I think he, one of the few times in his career so far, he's going to fall on his face. So I'm going to take the Seahawks.
All right. Speaking of beating up on the Jaguars, they head to St. Louis to battle the equally pathetic Rams.
Oh, this game is horrible.
I want to pick Jacksonville. If it was in Jacksonville, I'd think about it stronger. If Henny was starting, I probably would definitely do it. Gabbert's still in there, which makes me think they really just want the number one pick. They don't give a fuck about winning. I don't know how else you can justify sticking with Blaine Gabbert.
I mean,
he's awful.
17 of 32 for like three
picks. It's awful. They have Football Outsiders said this is the worst offense they've ever measured, is this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I mean, they are, you know, we don't talk about betting or discuss any lines or anything on the show. Mm-hmm. St. Louis is favored by 12 fucking points in this game. And they're awful.
It's terrible.
St. Louis is terrible. Next week's going to set the record when Jacksonville goes to Denver. Saints are probably going to be 28 points. I'll take St. Louis here, but I don't feel good about it. By the way, Sam Bradford, what the fuck happened to this guy? He looks lost out there. Thursday night, he looked like he had no clue what the fuck he was doing. He looked like Mark Sanchez. I'm blaming Brian Schottenheimer.
You know what, JR?
He has murdered two quarterbacks now.
I just used to think you were, you know, I love you, but I used to think you were just a Jets douche when you made fun of Schottenheimer. But
he's terrible.
You might be right now.
He's terrible. He's awful.
I think you might be right.
He has no clue what the fuck he's doing.
The best shot ever. I think, was it you that posted on Facebook or somebody did?
Yeah.
Bradford looks at the playbook and then just lifts his head up and goes,
"That's
I look like I'm reading fucking Chinese."
That's what it is. That's the Schottenheimer playbook. It's fucking bullshit nonsense. He's terrible. Terrible, terrible. The only time the Jets had a good offense when he was there was when Rex took over and called the fucking plays.
You do realize that, I don't know if you know this or not, on another note, this past week, the home game with the Colts, did you hear the promotion in Jacksonville? If you buy a ticket, you get two free beers.
Can you give away beer like that?
I thought that was illegal. I thought so, too.
There was a bar here, Harborside, that used to do this thing called Flip Night, where you would go and you'd flip a coin, and if you called it right, you got your drink for free. And they got that, they shut that down because they said you couldn't give away, couldn't have promotions to give away beer. So I'm guessing they got it cleared with some kind of commission. But I went on a hell of a run one night, Scott. I actually got 7 of 8 drinks free calling the coin.
Very nice. Very nice. And then you woke up the next morning and all you had was in your pocket was the quarter.
Yeah, that was it. All right, so I think St. Louis wins.
Yeah, I think the Rams win too, just based on they're at home.
All right, Miami at home welcomes in Baltimore. I don't know where to lean on this one. Miami, you know, did not play well, but you know what? I never blame anyone for going in and getting shell-shocked in New Orleans on a Monday night. On the flip side, I'm going to take Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime I think Baltimore's going to lose, they win. Anytime I think they're going to win, they lose. And you cannot predict anything this stupid team does. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, you want to be elite, make, you know, billions of dollars? How do you throw 5 fucking picks against Buffalo's depleted secondary?
Yeah, I agree.
That said, I think Miami, I think they have a hard time recovering from Monday night, and I wouldn't be surprised if they lose kind of a low-scoring game, like 13-10 or something like that.
I'm going to take the Ravens because I think now you're going to start seeing that the Dolphins are not – they're not terrible. They definitely are upgraded from the last couple of years, but I think reality sets in the next few weeks. I think they lose here too. I think Joe Flacco rebounds.
I don't like Flacco. I just think – I think Rice will have a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
Although the Miami run D looked fairly good last night.
I think Flacco will recover from that lousy game, and I think he'll play all right. And I like the Ravens.
All right, kind of a big game here is Philadelphia goes to New York to face the Giants.
Ugh.
Your stupid Cowboys are leaving these teams a little bit of glimmer of hope.
Don't even get me started. We'll get to them in a couple games. Don't even get me started on that.
And I think Philly wins this game because I think they see a chance. I think we've had a lot of the consternation lately about the Chip Kelly offense. Everyone's ready to say it's dead, but I think against this just depleted, empty Giants defense, I think Philly steps up. They always give the Giants fits anyway, and I think they win this game, and I think you're going to be looking at a tie atop that division after this week.
I'm taking the Giants. I think they win the first game of the year. I do. I don't know why. I feel Eli's going to will a win finally.
Yeah, right. Well, we'll see. He's only done willed so far as interceptions, but
well, yeah, I think the lousy defense is kind of infectious. I'm going to take I think the Giants win their first game. The Eagles just look. I know the Broncos are just on another universe right now, but the Eagles offense just looked lost on Sunday night.
Well, it's going to take time to adapt. I mean, I don't think we can say anything against Kelly or, you know, it's going to take time to learn it. I think people unfairly got excited after that first half against Washington and assumed it was always going to be that like that. You know, no one just seen that Washington's defense is terrible. But, yeah, I don't know. I could see, this is kind of a flip of the coin. You know, we're talking about flipping coins. To me, this is the flip of the coin down the middle. It's even 50-50 on the Yahoo prediction. So,
yeah.
I'll go Philly just because I think they're closer to – I feel like they may have more to play for because a win here gets them probably tied for first.
Yeah, I like the Giants. I don't know. I have a weird feeling they're gonna Eli's gonna have a great game and they're gonna win their first game.
All right, Carolina travels to Arizona. Carolina coming off a bye. Arizona with a nice comeback win over Tampa. Carolina's feeling pretty good after they stomped out the Giants and really should have another win. They shouldn't have blown that game against Buffalo. I'll take Carolina here, even though Arizona's played spunky as of late. I just don't think they have the talent to really win games consistently, and I like Cam Newton. I think they're finally letting him kind of do the Cam Newton offense and run the show. So I'll take Carolina here.
I like Carolina too. I think Cam and it looks like JR that after a year of learning how to be an NFL player, teammates seem to be rallying around him. So very happy about that. So there you go. We don't have to discuss it anymore. And they're winning games. When they're playing a team that's not as good as they are, that's worse than they are. I like them to win this game. I like them on the road.
All right. You can talk about your boys now. They're home hosting the Denver Broncos, undefeated. Just unbelievable the way they've been playing. Just a machine. Dallas had that division won already, I thought. They pissed away winnable games. Kansas City lost by one. San Diego, inferior team, go in there, lose by 10.
That of was all
a,
weeks.
I wish we did our predictions last week because that I would call that one from a mile away. That had Cowboy loss printed, slammed all over it.
I don't get it. I don't get it. When was the last time Philip Rivers had a game like that? Like 7 years ago?
He's looked good this year so far.
I mean, When did they make that run to the AFC Championship? 2008? When they lost to the Patriots? Was it when the Patriots went undefeated?
Undefeated year, 2007.
Yeah, it was 2007. He hasn't thrown balls like that in years, and he saves the one day to do it again but Mo Claiborne, and I think he's going to end up being a great corner, looked like fucking Elvis Patterson, toast from the Giants. I mean, he looked brutal.
Yep.
He got smoked many times. Antonio Gates just destroyed the Cowboy linebackers. I haven't seen the defense look that horrible in a long time. I thought Monty Kiffin was the answer. Obviously, the family's having issues. I don't know.
If the Chargers, If the Chargers carve them up, what's Denver going to do?
Saving grace for the Cowboys is they still have a pretty good... I mean, I know they don't have Spencer, but I feel they can put pressure on the quarterback.
Scott.
I mean, he hasn't been... Peyton hasn't been touched.
Scott.
But...
Well, this team is averaging. Averaging like fucking 45 points a game.
I know. I already picked my upset, though. So I can't pick... I'm going to pick the Cowboys because I always do. And I feel that the one week in my life I don't, they're going to win.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just going to pick them. I'm probably going to lose. But fuck it. Why not?
All right. I'll take Denver. All right, San Francisco home on Sunday night to Houston. Houston is in trouble right now. I think the bloom is off the Schaub Rose. That was a really bad loss. They had they dominated that first half against Seattle, and then they completely fell apart. I think San Fran has a little bit of their mojo back, and I think they win this game.
I like the Texans. I don't like Kaepernick. I knew for those couple weeks. Doesn't throw a good ball.
What?
He struggled against the...
What do you mean he doesn't throw a good ball? That's like one of his greatest strengths is passing.
Well, obviously the last 2 weeks, they scored no points.
Oh, come on.
In
Seattle. Okay, yes. We can let that one go.
And then they lost...
He's got no fucking receivers.
Then they lost at home to an average Colts defense.
He's got no average. Receivers. He has zero receivers. It has nothing to do with how he throws the ball.
And he's average receivers, and he scored 40-something points against one of the best defenses in the league in week one. And then the next
Green Bay
weeks,
is one of the best defenses in the league?
Well, I mean, they
come on.
One of the best overall.
Come on, you're completely lost right now.
I'm not taking the Steelers. They're on a bye anyway. I like the Texans.
All right, good luck with that. All right, a double Sunday night game, Scott, this week.
Yes.
Due to accommodating for the Oakland A's playing Saturday, and they have to get the field in shape.
20 hours. Yeah, 20 hours it takes to switch from baseball to football.
A lot of times, Raiders on the field.
I don't think it's that. I think they just line it and get on the play in the infield dirt.
Give a shit.
I don't think they play Raiders.
This game will actually be at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, Sunday night. San Diego at Oakland. I will take San Diego to stay hot, especially if Matt Flynn starts. He looked fucking brutal. I can't believe that guy's making as much money as he is.
I was going to pick the Raiders, but I think they suck. So, and I think I agree. San Diego, I think I think they'll come off a. This might be a little run for the Chargers. I think they may make a run and try and.
Well, they're in a tough division. They got an outside shot at a wild card, but I mean they're behind an undefeated Chiefs team, undefeated juggernaut in the Broncos. It's bad luck of the draw for them this year.
Yeah,
actually looking pretty good and stuck in this division, whereas 2 years ago they would have probably been the favorite. Yeah. All right, and Monday night finally in Atlanta, the Jets walk in there. A very shaky game. Now, they're going into this game without Santonio Holmes and Stephen Hill, and I'm not sure what they're going to do. I don't completely blame what happened. I mean, look, his turnovers led to them losing that game at Tennessee, but that offensive line was just played awful. I mean, and the Tennessee defensive pressure was in Smith's face the whole game, and this is one of those snowball games. Things get out of control quickly. They were running pretty well, like they have been, and Atlanta's got a soft run defense, so I'm expecting a very heavy run game from Bilal Powell. Mike Goodson will be back, and I think the Jets maybe keep it close early, and then Atlanta starts to kind of pile up the points late, and I think this is a must-win for Atlanta, and I think they know it, coming off that loss to the Pats, and I think they win here on Monday night.
Yeah, I like the Falcons, too. They had a winnable game, you know, Sunday night, at home. They could have won that game or at least gone to overtime had they had better play calling. Mike Smith, he'll be the first one on the chopping block, certainly not Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan ended up throwing for 400 yards. Most of them are empty, but he gets 400 yards. I think they win this game. It's a learning process for a rookie quarterback. Mm-hmm. Geno Smith is a rookie.
Oh, and
I know you're not drinking a lot of Kool-Aid, JR. But
I like
he's
him.
A rookie.
I like him.
He's a good quarterback. I like Geno too. The guy put up great yards at West Virginia. He put up good numbers.
Yeah, but there's one thing.
Slump at the end.
There's one thing he needs to do, Scott. You cannot turn the ball over this clip. The Jets are not good enough to come back from these. You cannot have 4 to 5 turnovers a game. You just cannot do it.
He's got to learn how to
do it. He has to
not throw silly passes. Right. I mean, a lot of those picks are, at least the ones against the Patriots, I remember were, you know, just
stupid.
Silly decisions that more
he's trying to do so much. Too much. He's got the arm, and I think he's got the intelligence. He's got the wherewithal. Mm-hmm. He just needs to rein it in and not. He's going to go back to like he was in the first couple games where he just, you know, well, the past game, early in the past game where he's throwing the ball away, running out of bat. He needs to do more of that kind of stuff mm-hmm. and just play smart. But again, they need to start him and see what they have this year. They cannot jerk him around. But I like how they're not committing to him as the starter because that's when you get into trouble. If you're not sure, don't say it. So, all right, there are your NFL predictions for Week 5. Scott, why don't we take a break?
Oh, before we do that, we got to do our.
Oh, right.
Our trip. I already have mine written down. I have the Ravens as my lock. The Patriots as my upset. And the Seahawks as my suicide.
All right. I had the Patriots as my upset. Hang on. Let me pull it back up here. I have a stupid Geico commercial song in my head now. I will take San Diego as my suicide. And Seattle is my lock. No, I don't like that. Denver is my lock.
And what do you think? Quickly, your division series picks before we go to break.
My heart's
Pirates, Cardinals.
My heart's with the Pirates.
Me too.
I'd like to see them win. I don't know if they get enough to. Well, they're hot. They're really confident. That place is going to be. They have to steal one of those first two games in St. Louis, and then they have a legit chance. Mm. So, again, I'll go with the Pirates. Why not? Okay. And I like the Dodgers to knock off Campbell's Braves.
The Braves played like awful the last few weeks.
Yeah, and I think the Dodgers is better. In the AL, the wild card game is still going on. I'm assuming Tampa. If Tampa wins, I think they have a chance to beat Boston. If Cleveland wins, I think Boston wins easily. And on the flip side, I like Detroit to knock off Oakland.
I'd love to see Terry Francona just lift his leg and pee on Larry Lucchino.
It's not going
to
happen. I can't believe how many Red Sox fans out there. Did we talk about this yet on air? I forget.
I don't think so.
So many Red Sox fans, a lot on the radio, like radio hosts and callers, saying that they'd rather play Tampa or Texas, as it would have been, than Cleveland, because Cleveland's hot and Francona. I'm like, you guys are out of your fucking minds. I mean, I don't think Cleveland's that good, are they? I mean, they're okay, but their record against winning teams was not that strong, and they were in a pretty weak division, and I don't know. I'm not a big believer in them. I think if they win, I think Boston will just fucking walk all over them. I just don't think they're that good. I think Boston should fear playing Tampa. I don't know why you'd want to go into a short series, have to face David Price and Matt Moore possibly twice each.
Right.
It makes no sense to me. I mean, as a Red Sox hater, I want Tampa to win because they give the Red Sox fits anyway. And I definitely wouldn't be surprised if Tampa won that series if they match up.
Think the Yankees miss Russell Martin?
whatever. It's easy to say, but.
Yeah. And is Joe Girardi the next Cubs manager?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't know where that's coming from.
Well, it comes up all the time, but I think they're floating it to get a payday. I don't see. I think he'll stay. They like him. They're going to make a play for him. If he leaves, it's not going to be on them. It'll be on him. Mm. So, all right, let's take a break. And when we come back, Scott, we'll bring in our very special guest.
Indeed.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
He likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones.
Oh. The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best!
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance. I'm Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunderlips, I was winning world titles.
Well, there they are, our good friends Chad and Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Now, if you want nonstop old school NWA discussion, getting back to that very first Stargate, these guys have it covered. Even the PICs have made an appearance once. We are very particular or podcast we visit. So check out our friends Chad Parr, Where the Big Boys Play. Their link is right on our site, placetvnation.com. Just go into the podcast menu.
There they are.
The other great shows we partner with. Chad and Parr, working Where the Big Boys Play. Speaking of Place to Be Nation, that's your everyday home for your pop culture needs. At placetvnation.com, we have everything. Wrestling, sports, comics, even polls. We want your opinions as well. Every day, there's something different with our top staff of writers who are experts in all fields of pop culture. From the weekly Raw review to the return of the hack, we've got everything you need. We're also working with a myriad of great podcasts. Of course, besides Chad Parr, we have Grapple Talk, the fans podcast, Off the Top Rope, Answering the 10 Count, We Found New Music, and the Kings of Sport with Nate Milton. We've got everything for your listening pleasure. So check us out every day of the week at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Now, don't forget about our good friend Graham Cawthon and the history of WWE.com. He's still the top source for all argument solvers, from match results to house show cards to pay-per-view histories. Any questions you need answered, any debates among wrestling fans that need ending, head over to Graham's treasure trove of information. You will certainly find it. Need to know what the opener of Starrcade 1995 was? What was the main event of that 1988 Boston Garden house show you went to when you were 11 years old? Graham can tell you. He has WWE, WCW, ECW results, and the growing results in TNA and Ring of Honor. So for all your wrestling research needs, check out Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com. Now finally, if you want a place to just hang out, discuss all things wrestling with fellow diehard fans, check out the news and the great forums at twfnews.com. They have all the up-to-the-minute stories in WWE, TNA, and pretty much everywhere in between. They talk old school, Attitude Era, and even those hard-to-remember guys and shows like Waylon Mercy or In Your House Number 3. So check out all there is to see right on twfnews.com.
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Place to Be Podcast.
All right, Nation, we are back, and you know, we're in the live podcasting business here, Scott. Things change on a dime.
Pretty much.
While we were in this break, we checked our email. We were ready to set up our interview, and Brian had to reschedule and issue come up with a client. So we're going to hopefully talk to him next week now at some point over the next week, and we'll bring the Brian Shields interview to you. But please make sure if you're in the New York area, he is doing an event based on the encyclopedia on Long Island. So be sure to check out, I'm sure he's on the web somewhere for details, right?
I believe he posted something I'm going on it now. I believe he posted something on Facebook. Let me take a look. Here we go. Let's see if he posted something. Press looking down here. Okay, this is his personal stuff. Anyway, he did post something about his what he's doing this week. It's some type of on Sunday, some type of symposium involving the history of WWE, which sounds like something that's pretty.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Farmingdale Public Library, October 6th. That's Sunday, 2:00. Doors open at 1:30. The Farmingdale Library, 116 Merritts Road in Farmingdale, New York, which is Long Island. For tickets, which are free, contact Karen Emde, EMDE. Phone number is 516-249-9090. So there you go.
All right. Sounds like a good deal. So make sure to check that out. Yep. So, Scott, now that we got a few extra minutes to chat here, also breaking, as we were taking that break, we went through and searched out the spoilers for SmackDown. I hadn't seen anything added. Then I rechecked WWE.com. They actually added one match based on WWE.com and based on spoiler news sites I've seen. There's actually a second match added as well. The first one that's official based on their website, Curtis Axel defends the IC title against R-Truth. Of course, this is a rematch from Monday. Truth won when CM Punk's music played and distracted Axel. I'm guessing this is just a chance for Axel to get his heat back and get his win back. I don't see Truth taking the belt here.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's just it seemed like the card was kind of light. So an extra match doesn't hurt. So
and Axel's got some nice little pay-per-view wins the last few months as IC champion.
Yes.
I mean, he's in a weird spot. He's not getting a super push, but not a bad push either. And this, to me, is a nice little match for him to get another pay-per-view win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, he's gotten pretty much whipped on Raws the last 3 or 4 weeks and for Ryback to have his heat. So I think it's a chance for Axel to kind of get boosted back into the Heyman clan. So, yeah, I definitely like him to win.
Okay. In the other match announced, not officially, but it looks like it came out of the SmackDown tapings, is Bray Wyatt versus Kofi Kingston. Of course, that stems from Monday night as well, when the Wyatt family attacked Kofi. And I'm guessing Bray wins this one, obviously.
Yeah, I would think so. I think they're doing this match kind of on purpose because, let's be honest, the one match we've pretty much seen him prevalently on pay-per-view was a absolute shitstorm against Kane.
Yes.
So I think this is a good chance for Bray Wyatt to, you know, actually have a good showing and come off as a pretty good
Do you think the Wyatts are losing steam a little bit?
Yeah, I actually do. I think it's because they've been so overwhelmed by the Triple H stuff and stuff involving Daniel Bryan, and then the Big Show stuff, and I think Triple H and Stephanie have put themselves in so many storylines that the ones they're not in are losing face time.
I think they're in a weird spot with them, only because they're not really ready for any kind of serious push. But I mean, how long can you? We just saw the jobber thing with the Shield, and well, maybe not them as much, but Ryback running through guy. It's like, how many lower level guys can they be? I'm not sure. Excuse me, sorry, I got the hiccups. I'm not sure how they can really.
Do you have the sheep mask on?
I'm trying to fight them back. I'm not sure where else to really go with them just yet. Go ahead, talk.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. Go ahead, mute. That's what Bob Murphy used to do when he was at the Mets when he had coughing fits. That's what I think the main problem is. I think the main problem is because Triple H and Stephanie are so much in every other storyline on TV that the ones that aren't, that they're not involved in, are losing steam. That's a problem. I understand being with the Daniel Bryan aspect of it because he is a main eventer. But the Stephanie Big Show stuff is just getting so tired. I think that could ease up. And let Triple H be his, you know, dude. Just abuse everybody. Anything involving Stephanie is just getting very tiresome.
The Punk storyline doesn't involve them, though.
The Punk storyline is very good. And
well, that kind of defeats your purpose. I mean, you're saying that storylines suck because they're not involved with Triple H because they're overwhelming everything, but that one's good. I mean, I think it's... Excuse me. I thought I'd get rid of him.
All right, Jake. What's next?
What a disaster.
What's Lawler going to come with a bottle of hooch next?
Oh, my Lord.
You're right about Punk is in a different vein, but all right, let's put this then. What are the main storylines on the two shows right now? Brian Orton,
yeah,
Triple H, Del Rio, RVD, sort of, but not really, because RVD was part of that special, you know, group that saved them, and then he got pounded last week, but not really. Big Show, part of the storyline. The Rhodes, part of the storyline. All right, Punk, not part of the storyline. Although Heyman's been on with Triple H, I think, once, and that was like when he becomes a face, which that's another issue. But fortunately, they haven't done that as much the last 2 or 3 weeks. After that, everything else has been really, I guess, the last storyline is the Wyatt family. So maybe they're just at the back of the list. You know, you can't really take time away from Punk and Heyman because it's so good. Yeah, I think they're a wrong place, wrong time. I agree with you, JR. I think they're in the wrong place at the wrong time right now. It's kind of a bummer. We'll see if they. I mean, I think they'll rebound. They may get a good push come Survivor Series because the three of them can wrestle on a team against maybe Kane. We don't know what the deal with Kane is. We don't know if Kane's coming back as a, you know, being saved, or is he part of the family now? Or
yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, the Wyatts. Yeah, you're right. Just bad timing.
It is bad timing.
That, you know, they happen to come in during a time when there's a massive heel movement at the top of the card.
Yeah.
Involving a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, exactly. So they have lost a little heat, but it's really not their fault. The shows now are a little disjointed. So it's actually turning out to be. I wasn't crazy about the card. Not that R-Truth and Curtis Axel add that much, but a couple extra matches don't hurt.
And I think it definitely adds some depth to what looked like a bit of a shallow card.
Yeah,
and I'm interested to see Bray again on pay-per-view. I think that'll be interesting. And yeah, I think R-Truth Axel will be fine too. So
yeah.
I like this card now. I kind of like the way it's shaped up.
Axel's had good pay-per-view matches.
Yeah.
He hasn't disappointed.
Nope.
He's gotten the shit kicked out of him on Raw, but it's been fine. So there you go. That's the official full battleground. Yes. Just to recap the matches from earlier, of course, Brian Orton. We both like Orton there. But, of course, there'll be some kind of schmozzy mess because they will face each other, obviously, at Hell in a Cell. Del Rio RVD, Hardcore Rules. We both like Del Rio there. Punk Ryback, both like Punk. AJ Bree, both like AJ. Dolph Sandow in the pre-kickoff. That'll be on YouTube and Yahoo and the rest. We both like Dolph. And then the only difference you and I have is the Ruth Family Bibi and the Shield. I was actually talking about your theory with our man Dr. G earlier today. He was very interesting. Very interesting.
I think anyone would be interested in that storyline.
It's going to be incredible. It's going to be incredible. I was just mentioning it a moment ago. So,
all right, Scott. All right. Now that we have some time, mm-hmm. we have another pay-per-view this month coming up.
Yes.
Well, two more besides Hell in a Cell, which we'll get to eventually.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about Bound for Glory. You're our TNA guy. Set the stage. How are we heading in? What's the show shaping up like? And what's coming out of this thing?
Well, we got a lot of issues. Bound for Glory is Sunday, Sunday, October 20th from the Viejas Arena in San Diego, California, at the campus of San Diego State University. Really, the only it's sad, but the only match right now that they talk about is the main event, which is Bully Ray defending the TNA World Heavyweight title against AJ Styles. Now, obviously, this new building Dixie Carter heel turn thing where she's pretty much acting like Stephanie is coming at an odd time. It's coming like right in the middle of the build, but not like a month ago. It's happening like with 2 weeks left. So it's coming at a very weird time. But TNA right now is in a real state of flux. Mickey James is gone. Anderson is gone, although at the moment he's saying that he's re-signing. And now, of course, the big issue is Hulk Hogan, the general manager of Impact, who was given an ultimatum. And then the tapings, of course, they'll air later this week. Apparently, he quits. So they're in a weird spot right now. There's obviously going to be some kind of match between the main event Mafia, which is Magnus. I just lost my train of thought. Samoa Joe and Sting taking on the three remaining guys in Aces and Eights, which is Briscoe, Bischoff, and Nux. Of course, Kurt Angle is being inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame, and he's supposed to be back as part of that main event Mafia Aces and Eights situation. So who knows what's happening there.
Do you think this is it for Aces and Eights?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're done. Because the last couple weeks, there's been big-time tension. Bully Ray has been all about himself now that he has Miss Tessmacher as his woman.
Do you think Anderson comes back? You think this has all been a swerve and he comes back and costs him the title?
No, I don't, because I think they want AJ to win clean.
Okay.
I think they want AJ to win clean. I think he may come back as part of the main event Mafia. If they have an 8-man tag and, you know, some clown like, you know, Rude or somebody like that or whatever, because there's like another heel faction right now, Ego, which is Bobby Roode, Daniels, our man Daniels, and Kazarian. So they're in a weird place right now. I mean, there's what? This week is the 6th. There's 2 weeks left, and technically there's officially one match. That's not good. I honestly don't know what they're thinking at the moment. The roster's really good. I still think the roster's good. I think there's a lot of talent on it. But there's just, I don't know. There's just no there's no forethought right now. It's really weird. I don't see any. I mean, really, the only match is Bully. I'm looking at the official website now. The only match is Bully Ray and AJ.
Which is bullshit for their biggest show of the year. And they haven't had a pay-per-view in like 4 months. So
and I
plenty of time.
Right. And I understand the philosophy. And you and I talked about this since pretty much, even when I wasn't watching, when the show started, when we started the podcast. They care more about their free shows than they do their pay-per-views. But if you're supposed to be booking this as like your WrestleMania.
Right.
Jesus Christ. More matches to be announced every Thursday. They're so generic. It's not good. It's not good. There's a lot of problems there.
Yep. So what do you think the deal with Hogan is? I've seen it going both ways. I've seen it saying he's going to go to the sweet, sweet bosom of the WWE, take their money, mm-hmm. cash in his Mania 30 appearance, and, you know, whatever else they want to have him do. There's also rumors that he's been saying he's staying with TNA and he's going to take the pay cut and stay there. Where do you see him going?
I see him not coming back to TNA, and I see him just vanishing for like 3 months and then making a big splash after the new year in WWE. And I think if Taker's slated to face somebody else at 30, I think we're going to have Hogan and Cena. Will the match be good? Absolutely not.
No, I don't know. I don't think Hogan wrestles at Mania. I don't know what else he could do. Well, I can. They'll find something for him to do.
I mean, I was watching on the awesome WWE YouTube channel today, because I was just in the mood. What he did it when he came out of WrestleMania 21 when he beat up your man Muhammad Hassan and Daivari.
I can see something like that.
Yeah, if that's the case,
I can't see him. I can't see them blowing a Cena Mania match on him. He can't even move.
Yeah, I can't see him coming back here though. I mean, they're in the toilet right now.
I don't see how that benefits either side.
No, I think the bloom is off the rose.
They got to move on. It's time
to move on. Think they got to move on. They need to thin this roster a little bit, and I don't know what Spike's doing for them anymore. Spike seems to be more interested in Bellator. Bellator used to be on after.
You think Spike should buy them? Was it CRZ that was saying that when he was on with us?
Yeah. If they have the money, they might as well buy freaking TNA. I don't know how.
That's what I meant, not Bellator. I meant they should buy TNA.
Oh yeah, boy, Dixie would love that. She's clueless. She's absolutely clueless. She has no idea what's going on. She walks around.
Really be the WCW parallel then with Dixie and the Crockett rule.
Yes, but she walks and he was clueless in 1988, and she's clueless now. So I'm still gonna get it. I'm still going to live blog it for Place to Be Nation. Dr. G will be with me and a couple other guys. And I think we'll have a good time making fun of it. Because I don't know what they're going to... This kind of reminds me of an ECW pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember watching... I don't know
if that's a good thing, though.
I got to ask Dr. G because he was with me. I'm trying to remember... Our friend Mike got a pay-per-view. The only time he ever got an ECW
pay-per-view. We've been through this on the show. And we went through all the pay-per-views and we couldn't find the one you're talking about. I don't think we need to do it again.
It was something in 99. But the main event was supposed to be Bubba Ray and Taz for the world title. So it was in 99.
Yeah.
And they opened the show with it. It was just really weird. Yeah. And that's what I feel about TNA pay-per-views. They had a card set for Slammiversary. They had a card set for Lockdown. They had a card set for Genesis, which is their other three pay-per-views. But this one, the one that we're supposed to be gushing over, with 14, well, let's see, well, if you count the sixth, well, with 18 days left, you have one match. That's pitiful.
To me, you shouldn't be aspiring to mimic late ECW business model. So, the ECW quality of the show might have been good, but the business model was not
the soundest. If this was supposed to be your WrestleMania, your card should have been done the night you did No Surrender, that early September. That's right. A good 5 weeks. Your card should have been done that night. And instead, you're so focused on the TV storylines that you have nothing other than your title match, which had been pretty much built in since June when the Bound for Glory series started. So you've done, technically, in the last 3 months, you have done nothing for this pay-per-view because the main event is built in. Whoever wins the Bound for Glory series faces the champion. We had a little detour in the summertime with Chris Sabin, but otherwise, you've done nothing for this pay-per-view.
Well,
I'm still going to buy it because I still want to watch it. You know, it'll only be, I think it's 35. Whatever. It'll be entertaining. But I don't know what they're going to do in the next 2 weeks. What are they going to, this Raw, they wish they were Raw. This Impact this week is live in, I have no idea where they are. Little Rock? No, they were just in Little Rock. I don't know where they are. But anyway, they better get their ass going. I thought Mickie James was going to face ODB at the pay-per-view. But since Mickie James left, they had ODB win the Knockouts title a couple weeks ago. They have a great roster, JR. They really do. Bobby Roode, Austin Aries.
Well, that's why I think it's best if they separate now from the... Hogan.
I think so, too.
I think it's time. You know, it's funny. You know, we can look back and say woulda, shoulda, coulda. At the time, they were doing pretty well in 09 before Hogan came in. Like, the product was pretty good, and they were pushing the right guys. But I still think it was worth the roll of the dice to do all that. But like we said, it's going to be almost 4 years in January.
Yeah.
And where have they gone with Hogan?
He's been heel. He's been face. He was in Fortune.
They've gone nowhere. They're the same.
Immortality.
The ratings are the same. Everything's the same.
Except, nothing's changed.
You know, they're still talking about them, you know, going under. All the talk is the same.
And the one idea that he had, that he initiated, may cost them the company. He's the one that said, you want to be a big player, you've got to travel. And he never thought about the fact they can't afford it. They're not going to go back to Orlando. They lost their impact zone. And apparently they've been talking about Vegas, but Vegas would be very expensive to stay there.
Right.
Where else do you go?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, well, I don't know.
Yeah, well, let's revisit this after Bound for Glory. When we do our next headlines, will be that week in between Bound for Glory and Hell in a Cell. So we can definitely revisit this.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Talk about it. You know what? Let me I'll reach out to Greg Phillips. He's kind of our TNA guy along with you here at Place to Be mm-hmm. Nation.
Yes,
and,
yes, he is.
Maybe yep. Greg can hop on and talk a little TNA with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, Scott, before we go, mm-hmm. talk a little about upcoming shows. Next week, we originally were planning on doing two vaults. Mm-hmm. However, I didn't like that idea because I feel like the vaults have gotten so heavy in this 2000 range that back-to-back nights of vaults, because we're not going to be recording Monday next week. We're doing Tuesday, Wednesday. Back-to-back vaults is a lot. It limits our prep time. It limits our ability to be prepared to do these shows. So,
and I don't think we'll be able to get Vince to show up twice in a week. That's not how he rolls. He usually starts drinking on Wednesday, and he comes back by by Monday. So
I think what we're going to do is Tuesday night we'll deliver you Survivor Series 2000. Mm-hmm. Wednesday night we have a little something special planned. We'll mm-hmm. surprise you with that.
Yep.
The week after, we'll finish 2000 with Armageddon.
Yep.
And then 2 weeks from tonight, on the 16th, Kevin Kelly comes on. We're going to wrap up 2000 mm-hmm. as a whole. So that's already locked in. We're good with Kevin. We're mm-hmm. also going to catch up with Brian Shields, again, the author of the WWE Encyclopedia.
Yep.
And we'll bring that interview to you probably as a standalone episode at this point now.
Yeah.
At some point in the next couple weeks. Yep. Scott, before we go, though, mm-hmm. I did want to bring up a little something I noticed today.
Uh-huh.
WWE.com.
What about them?
Has an article up.
Oh, they
do? More like a slideshow.
Okay.
Ranking the top 50
mm-hmm.
WWF tag teams of all time, only considering their WWE run. They ranked them based on that run.
Well, that's...
Does that sound a little bit familiar to something we just talked about recently?
Kind of interesting.
A little bit coincidental, isn't it?
Well, I have it in front of me. This is what they have written down. Before you cover the Facebook wall,
I'm just telling you right now, we are not going through all 50 teams.
No. I'm reading the rules.
I know how your mind works.
I know. But I do want to get into one other thing before we go, too. I wanted your thoughts on something, and it'll be very quick. Here are the rules. Only WWE teams were eligible. No Gangstas, no Sting and Luger, no Mulkey Brothers. Teams were rated only on their accomplishments while in WWE. Who came up with that rule? Eligibility began with the first recognized World Tag Team Champions. Rankings were based on everything from longevity to cultural impact. And there we go.
Okay.
I don't want to say the whole ranking, but number one. Well, here's their top 10. We'll do that quick. Top 10 will be nothing. Number 10, Dudleys. Number 9, Samoans. Number 8, Legion of Doom. So they ranked him even. I don't know. Did they kind of fit around the same, I guess, Elite Eight of our tournament? Let me look.
Somewhat.
Right here. About the same. Okay. Number 7, the Valiant Brothers. We didn't take a lot of older teams into account because.
Well, yeah, we started at like 83, 84.
It's
not identical.
No.
But it's the rules are a little bit close.
Yeah. Number 6, Bulldogs. Number 5, Hardys. Number 4, New Age Outlaws. Number 3, Demolition. Number 3, Demolition. Number 2, the Hart Foundation. And number 1, Edge and Christian.
Interesting.
Do you think that's for the fan base? Because the newer fan base knows them more than...
No, I think they just believe Edge and Christian are the best team. I don't think it's either.
We have them in our final four was Demolition, the Hart Foundation, the Brainbusters, and the Rockers. Rockers weren't in the top 10? Wow.
Well, I think it's a little funny. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I... the reason that makes me think maybe it's actually possible is because Graham was involved. And he's got so many followers out there.
He does. He does a lot of followers.
There's a good chance that it was listened to. I mean, it just seems really weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll be a little flattered, but it's a little weird.
Yeah, it is.
That we did that show, and then 2 weeks later, the exact same thing shows up on the website. And it's a cool idea, so yeah. More power to him. Speaking of tag teams, make sure you go back also listen to our summit with the PWO guys.
Yep.
That was good.
I enjoyed that very much.
So we're going to have another one of those coming up in about a month's time. Okay. So, all right, there are your next couple weeks. Apologize for the misdirection on Brian Shields. We'll get him out to you soon.
All right.
Again, everyone have a great weekend. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week. We'll talk a little Survivor Series, and we'll talk a little Mystery Magic Ride. And, of course, we'll be back on Tuesday night next week.
Yes.
So, until then, visit PlaceToBeNation.com. Check out our archives. That's Scott. I'm Justin. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Survivor Series.
I got a tweet. Vince wanted to come on twice next week.
I can't believe you know how to tweet.
I can't believe Vince tweeted himself. I figured he'd have Armento tweet.
Armento tweet. Can Armento type on a smartphone? Those fingers?
I believe so. Mr. Chief was gonna say dread. You said I'm gonna rock with a reaction on the top box. I get props. I pick up the mic. I'm standing on the bus. I'm on the MC's dodge. I'm on my accent. You're mocking my clothes. You're clocking. Ripping MC's to smith. The reason the ribbity long stocking. So don't step the tip. I'm on the last move tip. You'll say dry time. Ready for the game. And plus he jacked my battleship. So ooh, chit-chit. Wawa of this kit. Rip it if it's specific. Don't get a riff when I kicks it. Chitty chitty bang bang. Pepper the pew. Pepper the pew. Lash move. Yo, I ain't got nothing to prove. Lash move. Yo, we don't got nothing to prove. Lash move. Yo, we don't got nothing to prove. Lash move. Yo, we don't got nothing to prove. Lash move. Yo, we don't got nothing to prove. Now here I go once again with the ill flow. Other MCs that rap, the style is so-so. Fife Dog was never the type that ever lacked skills. I just stay true to my roots and then I get ill. 20 years of age, but yet I still see knowledge. And this year was so-called my senior year in college. But I chose to pursue and I feel called music. And with some hype beats and breaks, you know I won't refuse it. Get on the board, lay down the track and I'll do 10 laps. Pass the pen, pass the pad and I'll kick enough raps. Just come inside the gym and witness who is boss. And it won't be Tony Danza nor Diana Ross. As small as I am, I still can pack jams. Do a freestyle and step, but yet I still slam. Not trying to say that no one can get with me. Not only is it the lyrics alright, it's my delivery. Name one rapper that you know who has this hot strong voice. My name's Malik and I'm unique in other words, I'm choice. Nothing commercial about this, it's mainly hardcore. Now that you got what you want, do you want more? Because I got more in store. Last move, yo, we don't got nothing.